liquid vitamins today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
In his best E.T. voice. Can you speak like an E.T.? Go ahead. Try it one more time, Chris.
The Paracast.
Oh, well, E.T. has to speak in a high-pitched voice. There's something about E.T. I think E.T.s have a predilection for helium.
Yeah, I should get a tank just to make it interesting there, Gene.
You know, years ago, Howard Stern had his whole crew inhale helium on the air. Forget about it. I'm Gene Steinberger in the Paracast. We have Larry Bryant, who is putting up with our guff, and we're trying to make sense of all this. Now, Larry, you've been the whistleblower all these years. You've gone after the government to get Freedom of Information documents. How has that fared? When did this all start for you?
Actually, I'm not a whistleblower, but I am a cheerleader for whistleblowing to the extent that I'm still cheering today for people like Colonel Corso, an Army lieutenant colonel who retired from the Army and eventually wrote a book called The Day After Roswell.
Now, let me just stop there. Let me stop there. That's been pretty controversial, as you know.
Yeah.
There have been a lot of complaints that maybe Corso's background and statements were inaccurate, that maybe Bill Burns, the co-author, edited the book so heavily that maybe there are things there that are missing or exaggerated. But you accept Corso's basic premise here that he was the bag man who brought ET technology into private industry.
If it wasn't he, it probably was somebody else that either he worked with or knew to some extent. The core story of Corso's involvement with exploitation of Roswell debris, it has a true ring to it, because let's face it, if Roswell occurred, debris was scarfed up by the authorities, was probably analyzed in a cursory way, and stored somewhere. And according to Corso's account, part of that debris was parceled out to the Army, to the Air Force, and the Navy. Which makes sense to me. If you've got something that needs to be analyzed and exploited, then you got to send it, put it in the right people's hands, get contractors involved, and do the exploitation. Now, whether they really had the authority to do it as much as they did, and enrich the military-industrial complex, that's a whole new political question. But the point is the history, does it make sense? And it does to me. In Corso, as I say, he may have had some personal flaws, but in general, he would have had a high security clearance when he was working in the Pentagon and under General Trudeau, and the research and development community of the Army, I'd give him the benefit of the doubt that his core story makes a lot of sense.
You know, I want to say this, and I've gone back and forth about Corso. Ever since the Paracast first debuted in 2006, we had Bill Burns on several times to talk about it. And I understand the concerns. Apparently, his credentials were maybe misidentified in the book. There were lots of typos or poor editing issues. But the thing is, in general here's a guy who has a very credible reputation in the military. Why would he, at the end of his life, come up with this stuff if it's nonsense? Why would he do it?
He had a simple explanation. His children said that, I want you, Daddy, or Grandfather, I want you to put your story on record because you've been a historical player in this thing, and you need to come out and put it on record. And that was his simple explanation. I don't know if it satisfies most people, but it satisfies me for the time being.
Well, I'm really interested to... Mm-hmm. I was just going to point out that the Open Minds group down there in Tempe has actually, I think, published his original manuscript prior to Bill Burns' involvement. And I've yet to see somebody compare the two. It would be an interesting project for somebody to see how much actually was changed in the in the actual final versions of the book that Burns was involved with. One of the things that you brought up before, Larry, that I want to touch on here real quick is, you know, we've been talking about the military and the government, and you did bring up the military-industrial complex and this whole idea of compartmentalization of these secrets, if you will. How much do you think the government really knows? Do you think a lot of this real super secure information is being held in the hands of private corporations like Bechtel and Lockheed and McDonnell Douglas and, you know, the RAND Corporation, GRW,
RAND,
people,
yeah. You know,
groups like that? How much do you think has been compartmentalized away from the Larry Bryants and the John Greenwalds and the FOIA request into the private sector? Do you have a sense of that?
99% of the hardcore information in the government's hands has been, continues to be, under wraps. And part of that 99% includes gun camera pictures from interceptor jets. You don't need any better information than that to make a conclusion. A jet fighter up there in the stratosphere with high-tech gun cameras is going to capture some major footage. And, of course, we've had gun cameras that go back to the 60s at least. And I'm sure that they probably have stereoscopic capability on these gun cameras today. With color film, with infrared film, all kinds of stuff. We don't know for sure because, again, that's a military secret. That stuff we don't want our enemies to replicate anytime soon. So
you think it's the technology that we have that's being held secret, not as well as what they're actually filming? So
there's probably a combination of that, what the intelligence community calls sources and methods of intelligence collection and analysis. They rightfully want to protect stuff like that because there's other people who'd like to get their hands on the same material that we have. But again, if there's a threat from UFOs, we should know about it. We are the people of the government. We're both the governors and the governed in this country, and we have a right to know if whatever threat exists.
And if there is no threat, why keep it secret?
Well, as I say, that is the crux of the issue. Why is the government afraid to let its own people know what's going on? Maybe there's some nefarious policy that says we will lose the allegiance of our people if we admit that we misled them for 40-some years.
Well, the other question I have, Larry, is how do you keep a secret that long? Multiple administrations, multiple levels of leadership changes in the military and the intelligence agencies. How can you keep this singular item a secret?
Well, we have had leaks of information. Remember the Iranian jet interceptor case back in late 70s?
76.
The Iranian Air Force dispatched interceptors to check out a UFO sighting, and when they did, the result was not only negative but dangerous because one of the intercepting pilots was getting ready to arm his weapons and maybe shoot at the interloper. And when that happened, the systems of the entire jet interceptor failed. And that's enough to make a lot of people retire from the military. This account was leaked to the public, and eventually through the Freedom of Information Act, the Air Force owned up, yes, we have this document, and it doesn't show really much of anything, but you can have it.
Well, I'll tell you what, we can have a lot more in a moment, but we have Larry Bryant. He's a longtime UFO investigator. We're covering what he feels is the existence, the proof that UFOs are here because they are ET. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Fortean phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one, because everything you need at Military Surplus is at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com, one of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to MainMilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99, complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish M10 gas masks are 3 for $30 and Swiss filters are 3 for $12. Searching for Strike Anywhere matches? MainMilitary.com has them, plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E Military.com, or call 877-608-0179, 877-608-0179. MainMilitary.com, the main name in military supply.
Take a minute and hear what I'm about to tell you. You might have heard about Life Change Tea on a radio commercial or a TV commercial. And you did what many people do. You tuned out. I understand. Now the facts. When health fails, you will do just about anything for better health. So why wait? Read our testimonies of better health by drinking Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. And how much does missing work cost you when you're sick? Get ahead of the sick curve. Get the tea. Here's how to order. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea, T-E-A.com. Or you can call one of our friendly operators, 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Our tea tastes great, and we'll help you with your health, and you can even lose weight. So again, try us out at GetTheTea.com.
Bringing you the best in alternative talk radio for over 10 years. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you want to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out on iTunes.
Larry Bryan joining us this week on the Paracast. I'm Gene Steinberg. Chris O'Brien's the co-host, and we're exploring what they know or don't know about UFOs. And if it's all ET, okay, that's one thing. But what about all the side issues that we have in the UFO field? And we have the stuff that Jacques Vallée brought to the table, John Keel, many others, about other events that indicate maybe it's far more than E.T. What do you think about all that, Larry?
You know, theories are fine to look at. Theories keep the issue alive. Well, what we're really dealing with partially here is a mythology. The mythology of UFO research, basically. There's a lot of symbolism involved, imagery that can be interpreted in one way or another. And so the field of studying myths comes to play here to some degree. And there's nothing wrong with that. This is what culture is all about. We have a subculture called UFO research. And it's fed by mythological premises, just as any other subculture would be to some extent. And as I say, that's part of the picture. So, next question.
Interesting. I want to jump in here on that one. Why, for instance, here would be my response to that. And I do kind of hear, Larry, that you're saying, look, if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, chances are it's a duck. And I think for a majority of the field, that pretty much holds true. But there's a lot of things that have been reported over the decades that just don't make sense in terms of the actual behavior of the pilots of these craft when they land. Why do they still need to come out of the ship, for instance, and walk around and pick flowers and look at rocks like they've never seen them before? I mean, we both know that we could stick something up with our level of technology the size of a beer keg in orbit around this planet and pretty much determine almost anything that you could possibly want to know. And
maybe they have a tendency that we humans have. They're tourists. Maybe they want to take some artifacts back home and show it to the kids. I don't know the answer to it, but I'm
so
not
they're collecting
sure how
souvenirs.
Often that occurs.
So basically, then, when we have a million UFO crews coming down here, each of which takes soil samples, it's because it's different families, and they want to come and do their own stuff. You know, they're visiting the Grand Canyon, which in this case is Earth.
Or they may want to get some blonde hair from a young lady that they have an attraction to. Who knows? Listen, their motives are certainly worth looking into, because if the abduction phenomenon has any substance to it, then we're in trouble. We are sitting ducks for any time a fellow citizen attracts the interest of a UFO abductor. And our government has shamefully stuck its head in the ground about this bird. They don't want to touch the abduction cases at all. It's just it's a no man's land of inquiry. Now, what does that tell you? Something's wrong with that equation. The government should be looking into abductions, and they had a chance back in the 60s before the more widely known cases occurred. There was an abduction in Chesapeake, Virginia, of a TV repair shop owner who was working very late into the night, into the early morning hours, in fact, and when he closed up his shop to go home, left the building, he saw something flying, hovering down within eyesight. And so he eventually reported this to the FBI. And the FBI did a one-page memorandum on this, saying that the man could not recall a certain period of several hours after he had left the shop. You know what that's called? That's called missing time syndrome, which abductees have in a lot of cases where they are returned to their home or automobile or picnic table, wherever they were abducted, and they do have no recollection of a certain period of time. So this is a legal matter, a law enforcement matter.
Well, people, you know what? Another thing I have to interrupt here. One of the more controversial aspects of so-called abduction research is how do you unearth the memories of the period where someone blacked out, lost time, whatever, the missing time. And some say, okay, hypnotic regression. But then that's very controversial. You know, you can take David Jacobs, Dr. David Jacobs, in one room, and in the same room put Kevin Randall. And Kevin Randall says, no, it's not reliable abduction investigation using hypnotic regression. David Jacobs says it is. So where do you stand on that?
I'd say that any technique that's seriously undertaken should continue to take place, because we're in a disadvantage at this point. If the government does know about abductions, it knows more than it wants to tell us. And this is dangerous behavior on the part of the government, and we're still stuck with the possibility that anybody on the planet can be abducted at will by creatures from wherever they originate. And as I say, it's a law enforcement matter. It's a public safety matter. And while we're allowing this to go on, if it is, and I've any number of people who claim to be abducted, they show no signs of dementia, of psychotic behavior at all. In fact, if anything, they show signs of being too normal. So I say the jury's still out on the credibility of the abduction phenomena itself, and on the efficacy of researchers looking into whatever it is they can find. So I say do not close the door on abduction research. Try to get whistleblowers within the government to open up on this subject, as well as just the basic nuts and bolts hardware issue.
Well, you know what? The other question is here, is the government complicit? Maybe they're in touch with ET and they say, okay, you're allowed to take some samples, to take specimens. If you don't hurt anybody, go ahead and abduct, you know, so many people. Do you believe in any of that?
I don't necessarily use the word belief. There have been rumors that there has been a military presence in some cases of UFO abductions. I don't know how substantive the rumors are, but again, the point is that this mystery is so spread around, so amorphous, that it spawns rumors, conjecture, disinformation on the part of not only government agents, but also on the part of people who have an agenda of intellectual agenda that's not harmonious with what other people have.
I'll tell you what, maybe some people just want to sell books and earn the money from the lecture tours, get their 15 or 30 minutes of fame, and don't really care about finding out about UFOs. We have Larry Bryant joining us, longtime UFO investigator. The co-host is Chris O'Brien, and now he's preparing his best ET voice. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space, and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
Soon we'll be shutting our doors and windows, shutting out fresh air for months. Did you know you're also keeping in allergens, bacteria, and germs that cause colds and flu? What if there was a low-cost way of blanketing your home with clean air? There is. Introducing the AeroAsis 3000 Air Purifier. It utilizes new patent-pending nanotechnology, producing a blanket of oxidizers that cleans the air and sanitizes the surfaces. Imagine not spreading the cold or flu bug to everyone around you. AeroAsis 3000 Air Purifier are made in the USA, come with a 3-year warranty, have no filters to replace, no grids to clean, and require no maintenance for 3 years. Try the AeroAsis 3000 Air Purifier risk-free for 30 days. 6th. GCN listeners, get $100 off when you order at breathebetterair.com or call 806-477-0322. That's 806-477-0322. And get the best air purifier for the best price at breathebetterair.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Are you concerned about dropping or losing your cell phone? Are you tired of dealing with cell phone clips or holsters? Then this message is for you. Introducing Clip Hanger, the best and most affordable cell phone holder on the market, made to keep your phone secure and accessible. Clip Hanger works with all cell phones, including the iPhone, Droid, BlackBerry, and even iPods. When attached to a pant loop, Clip Hanger won't poke when you sit down. And for women, Clip Hanger easily attaches to any purse strap. Carry a phone in your pocket? Simply use one finger to pull it out with Clip Hanger. Clip Hanger is thin and simple, has a 1-year warranty against breakage, and prices start at only $10.95. With your Clip Hanger purchase, we'll also send you the auto hook for your car and ship everything to you absolutely free. See the amazing Clip Hanger and the Clip Hanger Lite with its built-in LED flashlight at myphoneclip.com. To order, call 801-719-2680. That's 801-719-2680. Or visit myphoneclip.com to get your Clip Hanger today.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
It's good stuff.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Genesis.
This is the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
Let's applaud Chris O'Brien for the best ET voice.
Yeah, I'm good for something.
Well, you know, you said it, I didn't. I'm Gene Steinberger in the Paracast. We've got Chris O'Brien as the co-host. Larry Bryant is the guest. Okay, so let's look at the UFO field in general, trying to figure out what's going on. And we have a situation of, can't we all get along? And you've got so many interests and so many competing elements of the UFO field. How do you sort things out? I mean, if someone comes into the UFO investigative field and they see what's happening, they want to quit right away. At least a lot of people do, saying, you know what, this is too much conflict. So what do you think about all this? How do we figure it out?
The conflict, the gassing, the gamesmanship among researchers. Some researchers find a pet case that they love to keep, and they spend their whole career nursing that one particular pet case and resent anybody else trying to get a handle on it. This is human nature, my friend. It's sort of like religion in a way that you create an in-group and you make sure that it's protected from any incursion from an out-group. So it's just human nature at work. The field is always going to remain controversial. I would remind you of a case where a younger investigator got into the field. He was an airline pilot. His name was Kent Jeffrey. He decided that the Roswell case, crash saucer case, was deserving of his attention. He mounted what he called the Roswell Initiative, a widely circulated petition among the citizenry to have the government open up its files on Roswell, to admit that Roswell occurred and that artifacts were retrieved and aliens were examined and so forth. Well, he got thousands of signatures. Thousands. He was going to present this, I suppose, to Congress or to some other authority. And guess what? He made an about turn, saying, in effect, well, I was wrong. Roswell was just a series of high-flying balloons experimented upon by the Army Air Force, and therefore I'm going to drop the petition project. This is a dark moment in ufology, and we've recovered from it, but it's symptomatic of dilettantes getting into the field, making a big splash, and then just walk off as if they just had a big bowel movement in public and decided, well, this is enough of that, and now I'll try something else.
You know, it reminds me of somebody we had a couple of weeks ago on the show who has this book coming out and a great initiative. He has a whistleblower who can tell you what's happening in Dulce, New Mexico. 2 days after the show is broadcast, he quits the field, abandons everything, but then he comes back to the field 2 days later.
Exactly. This is
so basically he took a laxative and came back.
Yeah, he took a mental. He had mental problems over his marital discord, and he overreacted. And again, you know, he's probably been under a lot of stress since he began this project, especially if he actually believes the Colonel X whistleblower source that he'd been cultivating for some months, I guess, and he just couldn't handle what was being dished out to him from left and right, and I don't know him personally, but I can empathize with the fact that he got in ahead over his head and overreacted, and now he's back in again. He's making his book available as an electronic book on his website, which is fine. You know, if his book holds up, that's fine, too. If it just fades away, as any number of other tell-all books have a way of doing in this field, then we have to accept that and move along, because that's what the fields are. We have a most anarchic discipline field we've had on any subject matter in the world. Anybody can declare himself to be an expert in this field. You don't need any credentials. You don't need any degrees in science or philosophy or anything. You just say, I'm a UFO researcher, and blam, there you are. You can carve out whatever image you want to do.
And you don't even need a degree. You don't have to go to a degree mill where they print up the degree and say, Larry Bryan, Gene Steinberg, Chris O'Brien, you have multiple PhDs in ufology. You just say, I'm a ufologist. No one gives an examination for a state licensing board or a federal licensing board.
Yeah, I can point out one of the persons you mentioned earlier in your conversation used to go around calling himself a PhD, and he seems not to do that anymore. And it could be somebody did a little investigation and found that he never went before one of these boards where academics, you know, treat you to an exam, and maybe never really produced a certified dissertation. In any case, as you say, people can overextend in their credentials. They can overextend in their emotional attachment to the field. That's just part and parcel of such an anarchic field of inquiry.
Boy, I'll say. There's a lot of little petty fiefdoms out there in this field, and boy, if you don't agree with certain named investigators and researchers, A-list types out there, if you don't totally buy lock, stock, and barrel their theories, then, you know, you're the enemy. You're part of the problem. And I have several researcher investigator friends that have been accused by people as being government operatives or being agent provocateur types and that sort of thing. And I really feel for the younger generation coming up interested in this field. I see the younger generation getting involved in this field, even superficially, and immediately they will see the fractious infighting. And I think that's enough to really turn somebody off from really diving in and getting involved. Someone like a John Greenwald, who I have tremendous respect for, and I think I'm sure Larry does as well with the kind of quality of work that he's done. But this is going to be a continuing problem, and I don't see any real solution to it. I really feel for folks, up and coming from the younger generation who have an interest in this field, but it's not going to take them long to figure out that they're getting into to a real cesspool of agenda and personal opinion, and it would be enough to turn somebody off. I think there's a few examples of people that have shouldered on and really done a yeoman's job in the field, like a John Greenwald, who I have tremendous respect for, and I'm sure Larry does as well. But this is a problem, and until we really come to grips with it, I think that the field will be spinning its wheels. And I think we should all kind of enroll in the Rodney King school of, you know, can't we all just get along here? You know, agree to disagree, but, you know, respect each other's opinions instead of, you know, denigrating each other. It just makes the field look, you know, that much less legitimate, I guess, in the eyes of the government, in the eyes of the scientific community, what have you. I'm off my soapbox now, Gene.
All right. Well, I don't know how we're going to get along if everybody has a different point of view as to what's really going on in this field. I mean, you have people say, I met E.T., or E.T. abducted me, and they told me that I am the sole spokesperson for the E.T. interests on the planet Earth. Therefore, I am the only one out there. I mean, we have somebody out there, we're not going to mention the name or the person he represents. He claims to be the American representative of a specific UFO contactee. And he says, that's the only UFO contactee on the planet. Everybody else is a pretender. Everybody else is a fake. And by the way, something that isn't a fake is the fact that we have forums, forum.paracast.com, forum.paracast.com. We know, neighbors, you're going to have things to say about what you heard from me, from Chris O'Brien, from Larry Bryant. And by the way, if you want to know more of the things Larry does, if you go to theparacast.com and click on his name, you get to his blog, and you click on the name of his book, you can go and order a copy. It's still available. We'll ask about that book a little bit later on. I also have a special request. If you'd like to become part of the Paracast team, we're looking for a sales and marketing specialist. If you have that kind of experience, especially in the online world and maybe in broadcasting, send your resume to sales@theparacast.com, sales@theparacast.com. So our guest this week is Larry W. Bryant. The co-host who has done lots of UFO research, written his own books, is Chris O'Brien. In his best E.T. voice, he's getting us set for this right now. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
The Paracast.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey, neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
As gardeners, we can all relate.
What do you do with all of the excess food that you grow?
Freezing or canning may have been the process you've used, but the good folks at Excalibur Dehydrator have a healthy alternative to preserve the fruits of your labor. The Excalibur Dehydrator will help you preserve your fruits and vegetables quickly and easily, so you don't have to worry about premature spoiling. You can also use your Excalibur Dehydrator year-round to make delicious jerky. And the best part? The foods you dehydrate are free from excess additives, salt, and preservatives. And that's something we can all do without. To learn more and to order your very own Excalibur Dehydrator, visit drying123.com and see how the Excalibur Dehydrator can help you preserve your favorite foods.
Mention coupon code GCN and receive a free book on how to preserve your foods.
Again, that's drying123.com, drying123.com, or call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254 today.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabyte, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendabyte is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendabyte continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio.
You guys are awesome.
I love this station. I really do.
GCN.
This is Philip Rogno. You're listening to Paracast, one of the most informative shows out there. So listen closely.
That, neighbors, is a very old E.T., okay? It's kind of an old and doddering E.T., 400 years old, from Zeta Reticuli. Is that right, Chris O'Brien?
Yes, Gene.
Well, spare me. Larry Bryant's the guest. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. So now, of course, we look at all this here, and we have the people who are looking for the fame and the fortune, Larry. And what do we do to toss them out of the field, get rid of them, so people coming into this mess don't consistently find themselves just completely confused over what's going on?
It's not a hopeless situation. There are some books being written that are very worthwhile for newcomers to take a look at. As long as there's UFO sightings, UFO encounters, there's always going to be an ample supply of literature, magazines, journals, newsletters, books, lectures from experts at conventions and so forth. This is a subculture we're dealing with, and part of it involves elements of the human nature. For example, in our earlier discussion here, you mentioned the inability of people to coalesce and have a unified approach to the subject. There's a human nature aspect called not invented here. I heard that phrase used when I was employed, and it pertains to, for example, a project that some group and another division of the organization might come up with, and it gets resistance from the group across the hall who might say, well, you know, it sounds okay, but since we didn't invent it, it's probably not going to work, or words to that effect. So the old not invented here syndrome is human nature, and this is what you get with people who catch on to a certain case or to a certain approach, and they resent outsiders from coming in. You know, it's just something we have to deal with because we're all human, and it'd be nice to have a civil approach to the subject. But again, because of its amorphous structure, ufology, sometimes called ufology, because some people think we're fools to even stay as long as we have in the subject.
That came from John Keel, by the way. I think he coined the term ufology.
Yeah, you know, we may be foolish up to a point, but are you really gaining any personal satisfaction, any progress on this? And then you make your decision, that's all. It's what has to be.
I'd rather be a little bit foolish than be totally in denial.
Good point.
Well, Larry, one of the organizations that you were, didn't you help start Citizens Against UFO Secrecy? Or I know you were involved with cause for for a number of years. How about if you tell us a little bit about that organization and the history of it and what you feel are the successes of that? Because it does appear to many people like myself as a real inspiration for the process of getting some sort of information from the government, from the military.
Yes, I was a founding member of that group, which never became larger than a couple hundred people. It's now withered down two people. Still operative member of Citizens Against UFO Secrecy, which when it started back in the late 70s, it had about, at its heyday, about 150 members. And among the other founders, besides me and attorney Peter Gersten of New York, who now lives in Sedona, Arizona, Brad Sparks, Larry Fawcett of New England, Stanton Friedman, and maybe two or three more other people in the field, decided that after the Ground Saucer Watch Freedom of Information lawsuit freed up some CIA material on UFO reports, this group decided that we should unify our anti-UFO secrecy efforts and form this little research and activism group called Citizens Against UFO Secrecy, which is now dormant except for me. Here in Alexandria, Virginia, which occasionally I cite my membership as the director of the Washington, D.C. office, of course, and I do that to lend some authority to my continued efforts to persuade federal agencies to free up heretofore unreleased material. One of the highlights of my own work in the organization dates back to 1983 when I filed a lawsuit, basically called a petition for writ of habeas corpus extraterrestrial. It was filed in U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia. It was a petition to have the judge order the U.S. Air Force to produce the bodies that were recovered from any crash saucer case. And I used as evidence for the petition a synopsis of cases from Leonard Stringfield's crash saucer research. I asked Leonard by telephone, I said, please, I filed this lawsuit, but I need some substance, some evidence to present to the judge. And so he did send me some cases, a summary case. Six, I think there were six summarized as being at the top of his list of credible cases. So I went into court. The court did grant me a hearing. And by the way, the case was filed through the mail. I never had to go down to the clerk's office and stand there and fill out a bunch of forms. I just found some format somewhere and decided, well, I'll try it, and I had no expectation that this thing would even get accepted. Well, it did get accepted, and the record is visible for anybody to research. The actual petition itself is now published in a book that that the late Colonel Wendell Stevens, Air Force retired colonel, he just died this year, and he published a book in which he included my petition as an appendix. In any case, the judge listened to both sides. I was sitting there in what they call a pro se status with no legal attorney at my side. The Air Force brought in a couple of uniformed JAG officers, Judge Advocate General people from the Pentagon, and then the U.S. attorney had a representative there to plead the government's case that this particular petition should be dismissed. The judge listened to me, and I said I was basically performing a reverse citizen's arrest. I was performing a request for disarrest. In other words, these bodies that supposedly were retrieved from crashed saucers were taken away without a warrant, were stolen, and that this was not proper behavior on the part of official government interest. And the judge quietly, as an elder person, probably in his late 80s, I said, this is the smoking gun, Your Honor, and I held up in my hand the six cases from Leonard Stringfield's research. And he said, well, Mr. Bryant, do you have anything besides smoke? And I'm sure there was a lot of smirking going on behind me. There were quite a few media people there, and eventually I explained to the judge that I had, upon my arrival at the courtroom, I'd just been handed the government's motion for dismissal, and I hadn't had a chance to read it. And he said, well, would you like to read it now? So I sat there going through several pages, the room quiet as if it were a church chapel.
A very patient judge, I might add.
I was totally surprised. He treated me with great gentility, with solicitation. He let me read through it. I guess I spent 5 minutes with my head bowed down over that paper, and I finally arose from my seat. I said, Judge, it seems that the government here is saying I do not have standing to bring this lawsuit, and that I have no case to pursue. And he says, well, you know, that's exactly right, or something like that. He did issue a written opinion and said that, technically speaking, he had no jurisdiction to actually try the case.
You know what? Maybe you had to bring in the relatives of the aliens.
Well,
to reclaim
exactly.
The bodies.
You haven't shown me where the bodies are, and you have not shown me evidence that you represent the bodies. So, therefore, I have no recourse but to dismiss the case. You know
and
what?
You know what? I'll tell you what. Let's split for the next segment.
Okay.
We'll go on. Larry Bryant joining us this week. We're talking about one of his early petitions to recover information about alleged UFO bodies. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi. This is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.